Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte. Last week, we spoke about being created for joy, and our goal is to take a look at this preparatory catechesis for the World Meeting of Families called Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive. This time, we're going to talk about the mission of love, and we briefly spoke about that last time as well. Deacon Nolte, can you please start us with prayer?
God and Father of us all, in Jesus, your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters and the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world to be united with one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of your holy family and the aid of your Holy Spirit guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer and to always seek your truth and live in your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Deacon Nolte, we had a great conversation the last time we were here talking about how love is our mission and how we're created for joy, but we're going to get into more detail about this mission of love. And we briefly spoke about how our vocation in life is to love, and it's really that simple. Loving is not necessarily that simple. I mean, our human nature gets in the way sometimes. But if we ask ourselves, why do we exist? We kind of talked about how God is love. God created us for love and to love and out of love. And now we're going to get into more detail and talk about that particular mission of love. And so with this, we learn that God works through us, that we have a mission, that we are in this world for a purpose, to receive God's love ourselves and to show God's love to others. God seeks to heal a broken universe. He asks us to be his witnesses and helpers in that work. And it's so wonderful that we have scripture that starts with a story of love. In the creation story, we have a story of love creating Adam and Eve and then bringing themselves to one another, or bringing each one of them to one another in order to love and to procreate. And so scripture itself gives content and shape to the meaning of love. What do you know about love in scripture? We have love stories all throughout Scripture.
Well, actually, all of Scripture is a love story. It's been referred to by many theologians and scholars as God's love letter to man, to humanity. And when you consider that throughout history, especially salvation history, God has called and formed his people from the very beginning, preparing us for the coming of his Son, that we might be with him in eternity. The entirety of the Bible, if you look at it from certain perspectives, begins in Genesis with the story of a wedding in Genesis 2, the end of Genesis 2. It continues, and as you go through, you have numerous weddings throughout it. But even through the prophets, we're being referred to as, you know, God refers to himself as being the groom of his people, the bridegroom, and that his people, Israel, is his bride. And as that develops throughout salvation history, and we move into the New Testament when Jesus, after Jesus is born, even St. John in his gospel, from the very beginning, his book reflects and parallels the book of Genesis. And that gospel tells us that he's giving us a new creation story. And the very first thing that Jesus does in that gospel is the wedding feast at Cana, turns the water to wine. And when you go through and look at the entire Bible and we conclude in the book of Revelation, it's often referred to as the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so in one sense of the word, God really wants us to be his bride. Now, not in the physical sense that we think of, not in the same way, but he wants us to be so greatly in love with him that we have eyes for no other and that we receive love from no other than him. But he allows us to share that through one another, through the gift of other human persons. We are created to be in communion. We are created to live that gift of love, and that our existence, this whole gift of life, precedes and shapes everything that we do and how we live. And to do this requires a certain humility, a certain willingness to conform our hearts to God's love.
And openness.
And to be able to see the world and others around us the way He sees it.
Now, as you're describing this, I can't help but think that there are some challenges in life that prevent us from understanding, knowing, examining love and being open to love. I mean, life is difficult.
Most of those challenges are our own selves. They're the ways that we get turned in towards ourselves and forget to look at our groom, to look at the bridegroom, to look at God, and to look with His eyes towards other people. And so we begin wanting everything for ourselves rather than for the good of the people around us. And that's where the real problem comes in, is that Satan has, you know, entered in with sin in Genesis. We get into this whole thing of we have, of course, what we call concupiscence, which means the tendency to fall into temptation. And we have these temptations to redirect that love towards ourselves rather than others, because it's easier for us to care about ourselves than to reach out to others, to give of ourselves, to die to ourselves.
To sacrifice.
Yeah. And it's just not seemingly natural, but in reality, learning to do that is what frees us to fully live, to fully be human and happy and joyful, and to love one another.
And to live out our vocation and why we exist.
That vocation is to know God's love, to love Him, and to love Him through and with one another.
Well, we hear in Scripture that we're called to love God and love one another as we love ourselves. We have another quote here from our wonderful Pope Benedict XVI. God loves His people. Indeed, biblical revelation is above all an expression of a love story. The story of God's covenant with humankind. This is why the story of the union of life and love between a man and a woman in the covenant of marriage was used by God as a symbol of salvation history. And it's wonderful, like you mentioned, throughout Scripture that we have these great images of love and wedding feasts and hope and new life. That makes me think of where we are right now with our situation on marriage.
And today, you know, I mean, today we face in our lives a culture that tells us that marriage is not a sacred thing. It tells us that we can redefine what marriage is. And yet we also know that marriage is based on that exclusive and definitive love between the relationship of God and His people, but also between ourselves as men and women, that love is a very special and unique relationship. It's not one that can be changed to fit whatever definition we want to place on it. We are called to a particular form of love. And marriage, matrimony, images God's love within Him, the divine love, the love of the Trinity, images it more perfectly than anything else. And when we move outside, that we are no longer complementing one another physically as well as spiritually and emotionally as men and women, then we get into an area that, again, going back to what we've already discussed before, we have these desires that lead us outside of that. We can never fulfill those desires because they were never meant to be fulfilled. We were meant to be fulfilled in one way, and that is through a love that is directed toward the good of the other person. And that includes so many things.
It's not necessarily just marriage. I mean, there might be some listeners that say, but I'm not married. Who do I love? How do I love? Well, like we've been saying, above all, God. And then we're called to service, and so we're talking about loving through service.
Well, it's the sacrament of marriage. If you look at the sacraments in the church, and you know we have the seven sacraments, we have three that are sacraments of initiation, we have two that are sacraments of healing, we have two that are sacraments directed to the service of communion, and marriage and holy orders are those two. So the predominant people who are not married, priests and religious brothers and things of that nature, and of course there are also single persons out there living their life, but this direction is always towards a direction of service of communion, to build up communion with one another, because that is the purpose of what we are. God created the universe really in order to become a human, to come and join with us, to pour His love out on us, and to invite us to love Him in return in a very real way. And that's hard for us to understand. Why would a God do that? He doesn't need us, but He does it because He loves. And love cannot contain itself. Love pours itself out.
Well, it's overflowing.
It is overflowing, just like in the psalm, my cup overflows. God overflows with his love and wants to share it with us, and he wants us to enter into that in a very special way.
We hear about love in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, and we hear from Isaiah 54, 6 through 8. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, like the wife of a man's youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will gather you. With everlasting love I will have compassion on you. And so when people sin, when we forget that relationship, when we look for a brief moment outside of that love covenant between God and ourselves, or let's say God, ourselves and one another, God is a God of mercy and of forgiveness. And if we're called to true repentance, he will offer it.
Well, what was interesting, you read that quote and you look at it, it means so much more than just words. It means so much more than just feelings or thoughts. It's actually a reaching out and an action of it. It's a decision to love and to care for.
A decision to gather us back into his loving arms. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Monsignor Larry White, pastor of St. Cyril and Methodius Catholic Church in Corpus Christi, was ordained a priest in May of 1970. On the occasion of this 45th anniversary of his ordination, Monsignor White has invited the parishioners of all parishes where he served to join him in celebrating his priesthood and their sacramental marriages. Monsignor White will incorporate this year's theme of the family fully alive into his celebration, which will begin with Holy Mass on May 17th at 11 a.m. Afterwards, there'll be a parish picnic under the school pavilion. For complete information, call the parish office at 361-853-7671.
Well, Margaret, let's continue that discussion we were just having a moment ago, speaking about love as being more than just an emotion or a feeling, that how it really is a decision and a commitment we make. It's ongoing. It requires a conscious decision to make a sacrifice for the good of the other person, to reach out beyond where we are. And, you know, St. Paul refers to it in Ephesians. It says, husbands are called to a self-giving love that mirrors Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We have to look at this and understand that marriage is not just a negotiation over rights and properties, responsibilities. It's not just a matter of coming together in physical love, or as long as you make me happy and we go out to dinner and we see this movie. But it goes much beyond that. It's this giving of self that is so necessary if we are to find joy in this life and fully live that mission of love.
Well, you know, I've been married for over 10 years now, and I'm thinking about how we are called to take a look at Christ's love through his sacrifice on the cross. I mean, that's immense love. That is someone who knew, fully human, and yes, fully divine, but someone who knew he was going to die for us and for our sins, being completely sinless, but loving us so much that he did that, and how we're called to sacrifice for one another and try to mimic that love, try to reflect that love. And for some of us, I would think it's a tall order.
Well, it's a tall order for all of us, not just some of us. I think every one of us have to really struggle with that. And when you consider who Jesus is, he's the Son of God. He's there before time even began. He will be there when time no longer exists. And yet, by choice, by decision of love for his Father and wanting to share that love even more, he became man. He entered into history. He entered into creation
and
took on flesh.
He didn't have to.
But he did it in a life-giving sacrifice of love for not only the Father, but for all of God's creation. That this what he has done came in to love us with this total unselfish love to give himself. And he sets the model for us, the highest peak, the highest bar of mutual love. In service. What does it mean? And this is what we're supposed to be embracing in family. And it's tough. It's not easy.
Well, check this out. I mean, while, as you're speaking, I'm thinking that our scripture tells us there is no greater love than to lay down one's life. I mean, how to even fathom that? Some of us could even say right now, I can't lay down my life for anybody. But it's not that we're not loving enough. It's just that that's the ideal, and we're always called to the ideal of loving more than we can bear.
We always have to reach higher than where we are. There's always room for improvement. And we're always in that place where the struggle in life is to get tired and to get redirected back towards ourselves, and we forget what it means to be willing to lay our life down. Commitment is an all-day, every-moment thing.
Yeah,
the decision to love.
Well, and I'm thinking of commitment, and I'm thinking of distractions. You know, I'm thinking of commitment to love and distraction to sin, and how that is a constant going on in our daily lives. And so I like how you say every day we're called to die to ourselves. Every day we're called to recommit ourselves to God and to recommit ourselves to one another, whoever we're in a love relationship with. And it could be our mother and father. It can be our children. It can be our spouse. It could be our friends, whomever, our community. Whoever we're called to serve, we're called to love, which is really everyone.
It really is. And, you know, sometimes it's not easy to love our children. I know people, I know priests, and even myself at times refer to our demon children, if you will. And absolutely jokingly. But then we go look in the mirror and say, oh, my demon self. And and we have to understand that the demons are there and they're calling us to go away from God. And yet, if we really want to understand what love is, if we really truly want to be happy and joyful in this life, and we're afraid of it because it costs us something. But the cost is worth every price we can possibly pay. And it is this thought. It is that, and Pope Benedict refers to this, is only when we contemplate the pierced side of Christ on the cross, that he's pouring out his life's blood for those he loves, for his church, for his people. It's only when we can contemplate that, that we begin to even understand the inkling of the truth of what love is and that God is love. And it's from there that our definition of love and our definition of what we do in relationship and communion with one another has to begin. It has to start there because that's the ultimate image of what that love is. Now, can we do that? Obviously, there's one Jesus and he was perfect.
Again, there's that ideal and there's that attempt and there's that try and there's that desire to be saints, to become saints and to be like Mother Teresa, who I'm sure deeply loved everyone she encountered. She might get annoyed with them, but she deeply loved them. And so I think there's that desire, that call to love despite the distractions of life.
And you're right. And when we think about how do we get there, we have so many opportunities that God gives us all the tools we need. He gives us the virtues. He gives us the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, all of, and yet those are abstract ideas until we start to work with them and try to understand what they really mean. We have to know that the authentic Catholic teaching on marriage and family really separates true love from all the counterfeits that the culture would have us think is love. And it redirects us. I mean, even when you consider the rite of marriage, prior to the exchange of vows, the deacon or the priest is going to ask those questions of the couple. Have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourselves to each other in marriage? Will you love and honor each other as man and wife for the rest of your lives? Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? Will you lay yourself down for the good of these people you're professing to love, and will you do it totally and freely? Obviously, we all get up there and say, sure, I can do that. And
I'm then, in love.
Yeah, love conquers everything. And then the next day, you wake up and you're like, oh, his breath is so bad. Her hair is, you know, her makeup ran. You know, the reality hits us full in the face, and we begin to doubt. And the culture starts redirecting us again. And that's why it's so important in our relationships and our family relationships that we always keep God in the center. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to be able to accomplish this mission of love, we have to understand it's not our mission. It's a mission that we share with Christ and that he's showing us how to do it. And he's giving us the strength to do it. We can't do it alone.
So the person that comes to mind is the Holy Spirit, and how it's through the Holy Spirit that we're able to praise God, call Jesus Christ God, to love one another, because our own human will would say, heck no, I'm out the door.
And exactly that, because what is the role of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity? The Holy Spirit is the love that's exchanged between the Father and the Son. More than that, it's that life-giving love. And where else do you find that than in marriage, that there's a life-giving love within the marriage between the couple, but also with the children, that this has to be an ongoing, life-giving laying down of self for the good of the other person. And that's the only thing that's really going to fulfill us and make us happy. If we want to know true joy and true happiness and really live the experience of love, we have to be willing to do that.
Now, in this particular chapter, and we're going to actually, or in this particular topic, we're going to actually go through the other topics as well. We do have this focus on marital love, because that is just such a great reflection of the love of the Trinity and the love that God has for us. But like I said, there are some of us who are not married and who are single, or maybe we were married or divorced. And so I want to make it clear that there are opportunities in all sorts of relationships, whatever relationship that we're in, to love God and to mimic that love and reflect that love in our service with one another.
Of course. I mean, we are, whether we're in a relationship or not, we are created for that communion. And that communion does not have to necessarily mean in a marriage community, a marriage communion. We're in communion with our children, with our brothers and sisters, with our parents, our grandparents, our friends. That's not a married love. And yet, even within that relationship, we are called to love and to be a gift to one another and to receive the gift of the other person. We are called in that to make that decision to consciously love and care about them. So we find those moments in which we need to forgive. We need to lay down our life and put ourselves aside for that other person. We need to really sit down and look at it and say, this person is a beautiful person. God gave them just as beautiful a soul as he gave me. And regardless of what we've done to that soul, he wants something greater for us, and I have to look at them and see them with that.
You know, whenever I teach this subject, there's always, I can see in the faces that there's people, there's in the minds of my audience, people that they cannot forgive, that people that get on their nerves, or people that are just not seeing the bigger picture or seeing things from their point of view, and they have a really hard time loving. And so none of this is easy. But there's this constant conversion, this constant desire to know and love God and just to be in relationship with him. So there's this desire to know and love one another and be in relationship with them.
Absolutely. And it goes back to Scripture tells us about the stony hearts, what we've done with our hearts. And Jesus tells us it's because of the hardness of your heart when he's talking to the Pharisees in Matthew's gospel. It's because of the hardness of your hearts that Moses allowed you to divorce, but from the beginning it was not to be so.
So we are called to forgiveness. Thank you so much for being with us, Deacon Nolte. The next time we're going to talk about this great topic of human sexuality. Stay with us. Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
If you are a woman, you can probably identify that one pot or pan, that one cup or spoon that exactly meets your needs when you are cooking. For some, it might be the old iron skillet, the one you inherited from your mother or grandmother, the one they used to cook cornbread in the oven. Or it might be a particular wooden spoon that you use only for stirring a milk or sugar-based recipe. A man might have tools much like women have the cookware mentioned above. There are tools that fit his hands only. It might be a left-handed hammer, the one most people can't use to drive a straight nail, but he can do it every time. For those who carve or whittle, two men can have identical knives, but hold them differently when they carve. And after years of use, even the casual observer can notice how both blades or worn in different ways. And finally, while there are many different types of musical instruments, like instruments often sound very different from one another. For example, a violin and a fiddle are the same instrument, but they're tuned, played, and sound differently. Even though musicians use one basic note to tune their instruments, their hearing and personal styles of playing affect the final sound. These are things we frequently take for granted, and unless we are directly involved in their usage, we seldom give any thought to the peculiarities of each as an individual tool or instrument. Musical instruments, tools, and cookware all have one thing in common. They are made for a certain purpose. The same is true for the human person. We readily recognize that every person appears different, but we seldom give serious consideration to the question why. When He created each one of us, God had a specific, unique thought as to who and what we would be. He created us to be like Him in what we do and how we do it, and to image Him by reflecting His mode of being, even in our own being. He has a longing for each of us to be with Him, to belong to Him in a relationship of love, and He is willing to go to great lengths to make that possible. Just like our mothers and grandmothers had to break in their new iron skillets, and men have to try out new tools before using them, God prepares us for the tasks He calls us to. He shapes us by allowing us to experience different events in life. Some of those events are occasions of joy and happiness, while others bring us sorrow and tears. Yet each experience shapes us to fit into God's hands just a little bit better and allows us to become one of His favorite instruments. Unless we are one of those individuals who complain about how heavy our cross is or simply refuse to accept it. The saints are those individuals who learned how to let go of their own ego, their own desire to have things on their terms. They are the people who learned from life's lessons that God wishes to shape us and turn us into His favorite instrument for that one task to which He calls us. It is only then that we become an instrument fit for a king. May you discover God's calling for you and embrace your own instrumentality in the sacred moments He blesses you with. And may you find joy in the journey to becoming fit for a king. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, as we contemplated the mission of love. If you would like more information about the World Meeting of Families, please go online and Google World Meeting of Families, Philadelphia, 2015. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.